It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18 plus. Katie Books Productions presents Lenny Gray, an audio drama, written, produced, and narrated by Earl Sewell. Previously on Lenny Gray.
I had to shine up for the wall,
Curly said, leaning over and spitting into a nearby tin cup.
War? You can't go off to war. You got a baby coming. You could get killed over there.
I could get killed right here, Lenny. At least I could make some money and send it back to you. I think I would feel better knowing that you got some kind of cash. I don't want you to get tricked into working for free, like me or my grandmama.
Well, ain't you got money coming in from the crops you and your daddy are growing?
Ain't no money in crops if people ain't buying at a fair price, Lenny.
Curly, if there ain't no money in it, then why are you working so hard doing it?
Curly looked at Lenny Gray as if she had just insulted him. His eyes turned into flames of rage. His chest heaved, and he told himself that she had just attacked him. It was his fragile ego and pride that took the hit of her words. He was doing the best that he could, and it wasn't enough. To add insult to injury, she implied that he was stupid for working at something that offered so little in return.
Say something like that to me again, Lenny, and I swear I'll put you in your place.
Curly's words were cruel and carried a promise that would come to pass if she ever made him feel low again. But Lenny Gray didn't understand why her question made him turn against her. She only wanted to help to find a solution to their problems. But his pride was too delicate, and his ears were too clogged to hear and understand her question. The following morning, Ida hitched their mule to a wagon, and she and Lenny Gray boarded it and rode towards church. The ride was bumpy and uncomfortable for Lenny Gray, but she was grateful that she didn't have to walk. As they made their way along the dusty and lumpy road, they came across men on a chain gang. They were shackled and had on black and white prison suits. Some had on hats and others did not. They all had shovels and were digging what appeared to be graves. Lenny Gray tuned into their sorrowful but beautiful voices singing. A man would sing a solo verse, and the remaining men would repeat his words in harmony. All of this was done while men with rifles and pistols observed them closely in case any of them attempted to escape.
Why don't you go down low? Hey! Don't you ride? No, no, no. Go down, old Hello.
Well, well, well.
Don't you ride no more.
Don't you ride no more.
Why don't you go down, old Hello?
Hate seeing them like that, Lenny Gray muttered to Ida once they moved past.
Ain't much we can do about it except pray. All we can do is make sure we don't do nothing to get us in trouble.
I heard they make up charges on folks, Lenny Gray said, hoping Ida would loosen up.
Over the several months that have come to pass, she had learned that Ida, like Curly, was emotionally disturbed and was very mean at times. Ida had emotional outbursts over the smallest things, like when she asked on behalf of Tangi May for some food and a little credit. She went into a fit of rage and told Tangi May not to bring her dark skinned behind back to her house, although Tangi wasn't all that dark, but she wasn't light enough for Ida's liking.
You heard right, but this family catches a break because the sheriff is Tom's half-brother.
I've been meaning to ask exactly how y'all is related to the Quinneys.
Lenny Gray placed her hand on her stomach as the baby began to kick. Ida gave the mule a command to slow down as they approached the church.
Ask Tom, he'll tell you, Ida said. However, it ain't all that hard to figure out. Tom is half white. His daddy is a Quinney.
Oh, okay, I see. Ida, do you believe in God?
Some days I do and some I don't. Most of the time I don't, but I still come to church to see if my mind could be tilted in a God-like direction, Ida said.
How come you don't believe fully?
Because I don't understand why God let so many evil things happen.
Bible say we got to live by faith and not by sight, answered Lenny Gray.
Well, that may be true, but faith and reality don't always see eye to eye. Let me put it to you like this here. You can have all the faith in the world, but if reality ain't matching your faith, well, then you got problems.
Ida paused for a long moment to allow the meaning of what she just said to settle between them. Then, she thought about her grandmother and the reality she had to live through.
My grandmama was born a slave in 1834. She told me that same year, old Massa's son was born and she was to be a gift to the boy when he turned 16 years old. Well, the way she tell it, old Massa's son was mean-spirited and my grandmama didn't want to be his bedwarmer. She was sweet on this other slave boy, so she gave herself to him. By the time old Massa found out about it, she was pregnant with my mother. The evilness in old Massa caused him to beat my grandmama so badly that she lost both of her breasts.
Lenny Gray gasped.
That's an ugly thing, I know, but it's the truth. I don't see how I'm supposed to be praying to a God when he let stuff like that happen, all because she wants to have a say-so and who she makes pleasures with. Anyway, on the day my mama was born in 1849, old Massa took her and sold her. He was standing in the room when the baby come out. He didn't even give her a chance to hold my mother.
Ida paused.
I don't understand what kind of God allowed a baby to come into the world and not even get a chance to look at its own mother. When slavery come to an end in 1865, my grandmama set out to find my mother. It took her 9 years. Tom's mother Mary helped out. My mother and Mary were friends, you see. Mary told me about my mother, rest her sweet soul.
How long has it been since you lost your mother?
Lenny Gray asked.
She died when I wasn't nothing but a year old. Cholera took her. I don't understand why God did such a thing. Seemed to me like the evil is the one with all the power. But part of me keep looking for a sign of God. But as far as I can tell, he ain't got no plans of showing up. My grandmama died when I was just 10 years old. Mary took me in. So Tom and I was raised together. It only seemed natural that I marry him, so I did.
Ida and Lenny Gray arrived at the church. Lenny Gray was silent because Ida's story was forcing her to re-examine her faith and that was uncomfortable. Ida guided the mule towards a tree and secured the animal, just as Lenny Gray went into the church and found a seat. Ida joined her shortly thereafter, just in time to hear one of Lenny Gray's favorite spiritual songs. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. No more sickness, no more sorrow, since I laid my burdens down. Lenny Gray clapped her hands and tapped her bare feet on the wooden floor. She saw Tangi May in the choir stand singing and waved to her. Tangi May waved back and blew her a kiss. It was then that she noticed Robin May, who was sitting in front of her and to the right. Robin May looked very sick. Her face had lost its color, and she coughed up thick sputum and was sweating uncontrollably, as if her insides were being boiled. "Are you okay, Robin?" Lenny Gray leaned forward and placed her hand on her shoulder.
"Just got a bad cold,"
she said, and kept coughing. "You need to be in bed," Lenny Gray suggested.
"I can't be sick. Miss Quinny's sick too, and she expects me to be around tending to her needs,"
Robin explained, and coughed even more deeply.
"Let her be," Ida said. "She'll be all right."
A short time later, Lorraine sat down behind Lenny Gray and began coughing too. "You don't have a cold too, do you?" Lenny Gray looked over her shoulder at Lorraine.
"I'm sorry. I don't want to make you sick. I'll move."
Lorraine got up, coughed uncontrollably, and released bloody mucus as red as rose petals.
"I'm sorry,"
Lorraine said, lowering herself to her knees. Ida got up and helped Lorraine back to her feet. Standing on unsteady legs, Lorraine wobbled out of the church. A short time later, someone in the choir began to cough.
"What's going on? Why so many people taking sick?"
Lenny Gray began scanning the church for others who looked unhealthy.
"I don't know," Ida said, "but something in my gut is telling me to get the hell out of here. Come on here, Lenny. We ain't staying to hear the preacher. He probably ain't got nothing good to say anyhow."
Late that evening, just as the sun had gone down and the moon was high in the sky, Tangi May was sprinting down the road towards Tom's shack as if she were trying to outrun a mob with tree-hanging ropes. When she arrived, she pounded on the door mercilessly, and with terror riding on her breath, she shouted,
"Lenny!"
Lenny Gray had just finished talking to Curly when she heard Tangi May's voice and rushed to the door. When she opened it, she immediately felt the catastrophic energy Tangi May had.
"Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Carried with her. "What's the matter, Tangi? Why are you all out of breath? Why are you carrying on like this?"
"It's bad, Lenny,"
Tangi May said, trying to catch her breath. She lowered herself to her knees and rested her buttocks on the heels of her feet. Then she began crying. Lenny Gray wearily sank next to her. She embraced Tangi May, who had burst into uncontrollable sobbing, and rocked her back and forth. With a panic-stricken voice, Lenny Gray asked, "Tangi May, what's wrong?" Tangi May didn't answer, so Lenny Gray began touching Tangi May for signs that she had been harmed. She feared that she may have been beaten or raped.
"Did somebody take your womanhood?"
Lenny Gray asked as she held onto her tighter.
"What's wrong with her?"
Curly had come onto the porch with Tom and Ida.
"I don't know,"
Lenny Gray said as she placed Tangi May's face in her hands. She looked into her eyes, which had tears wetter than water.
What's wrong?
Everybody at the church coffin this morning is dead. Everybody. My mama and granddaddy are dead too.
What? Lenny Gray didn't believe the words that had moved through Tangy Mae's lips.
They all dead, Lenny. Even the sheriff and his family is dead. Everybody, Lenny. Everybody is dead.
Tangy Mae continued to cry.
I do believe this gal has flipped out. I saw her granddaddy a couple of days ago, and he was just fine,
said Tom, as he scratched the stubble on his chin.
I ain't lost my mind. Miss Robin May is dead. Miss Lorraine is dead, too. I come to tell y'all, the devil is on the earth, and he's got death with him, and they is walking with heavy heels.
The following morning, Lenny Gray awoke when she heard a loud thudding sound. At first, she believed another storm was passing through, but then heard the sound of a familiar voice.
Tom, open the door!
The voice demanded immediate action. Lenny Gray sat up on her makeshift bed. She looked back at Curly, who was asleep and did not hear the voice. She thought about waking him, but decided against it. She glanced over in the corner where she had spread a quilt on the floor for Tangy Mae. Tangy was awake with her back pressed against the wall, staring blankly. Although her eyes were open and focused on Lenny Gray, Tangy was somewhere deep in her thoughts and was completely blind to Lenny Gray waving her hand to get her attention.
Tangy, you okay?
Lenny Gray asked. Tangy Mae swiftly swiveled her head from left to right, wanting to shake the unsettling thoughts and constant worry from her mind, but she couldn't. Her grave thoughts kept repeating themselves. It was as if her mind was stuck and couldn't move forward.
Don't be afraid,
Lenny Gray said, concerned, before rising to her feet.
I done told you, Lenny. The devil is walking the earth. People is taking sick and dying. They burning up with that fever, Lenny. I seen it with my own eyes. The end of days is here, just like it says in the Bible. Once the fever hit, people lose all of their strength and they die. I was talking to Robin May's oldest daughter who come down from Philadelphia. She say the fever done broke out up there too. She say her neighbor who worked for the steel mill went to work one morning feeling sick, and the next morning they were carrying him to the funeral home. He died overnight. I said to Robin May's daughter, evil is walking the earth and it's doing it with a heavy heel. She say, Miss Tangy, you is too superstitious and don't know any better. I said, I don't know what that fancy word mean, but mark my words, the devil is here.
Tangy May said, convinced of her belief. Lenny Gray moved over to where Tangy May was crouched down.
Now that it's daylight, we'll find out what happened,
Lenny Gray said, stroking Tangy Mae's trembling hand.
Tom, open up!
The pounding at the front door continued. Lenny Gray recognized the voice as her father's. He sounded terrified, so she exited the bathroom to see what all the commotion was about. She saw Tom opening the door. He had slipped into his overalls, but had not put the straps upon his shoulders.
Judge, what's wrong with you?
Asked Tom. Lenny Gray noticed that his back was unusually pale and full of little red dots from being pricked by feather stems in his mattress.
I come to tell you what's that happened,
Judge said. Tom allowed him in, and they walked down a small corridor into the kitchen. A makeshift table and chairs were the only things in the space besides a black wood-burning stove. Tom and Judge sat down at the table. Lenny Gray sat on a nearby milk crate.
It's horrible,
Judge said, with eyes pregnant with fear.
What are you talking about, Judge?
Tom wanted him to get to the point.
Death, it's all over. People is running scared. Your brother, the sheriff, oh, he dead. So is his whole family. They is dead, Tom. Most of the white folks in town is dead, and black folks is dying too.
How is that possible? People just don't up and die all together like that. There's something going on we don't know about. I ain't never in all my days ever heard or seen so many people drop into their graves so close like this. Maybe an anima fell into the town's water supply, died, and contaminated the drinking water.
Tom conjectured, sensing that he might have thought of an explanation for all the deaths.
I'm telling you, it ain't as simple as that. Something ain't right in the world, Tom. Something done punched a hole in this earth and it ain't friendly. People has been dying slowly for months from that flu. Now, that flu is everywhere. When it gets a hold of you, I hear it's like wrestling with an alligator.
Let me go get my rifle,
Tom muttered, turning to retrieve it.
That rifle ain't gonna help you none. You can't shoot what you can't see.
I'm going into town to find out what's going on. I ain't gonna believe all your jibber-jabber until I see it with my own eyes.
Tom reached down and grabbed his boots, which were situated near the front door. He noticed that Lenny Gray was standing behind him.
Lenny, go wake up Curly. I want him to come with me.
I'm going too, said Lenny Gray.
Oh, what for, child? You might get sick and kill you and your unborn child, said Judge.
He's right. You should stay here, Lenny.
Tom agreed, and they began lacing up his boots.
I wouldn't go into town if I was you, Tom. You might come back sick,
Judge warned.
All this talk about the devil in this house is crazy. No, y'all need me to go so y'all have somebody who believes in the Lord to help save your souls.
Lenny Gray spoke up for herself and stood firm on her decision.
I ain't afraid of dying. And if the devil is walking the earth like I done heard Tangie Mae say, I plan to meet him standing on my feet and ask him what took him so long to answer my prayers,
Tom said, stepping through the doorway.
Hi, this is Earl Sewell, author, creator, and narrator of the audio drama podcast, Lenny Gray. I wanted to stop in to say thank you to the listeners of the show. This show has been listened to in a number of countries, and I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the people in the following countries for listening to this podcast. And here they are in no particular order. China, the U.S., Hong Kong, Russia, Colombia, South America, Argentina, South America, Australia, Finland, Hungary, Germany, France, Ireland, England, the Philippines, Bulgaria, Italy, Canada, Nigeria, and South Africa. I don't know who you are, but I do know that you're tuning into the show weekly. Or bi-weekly, for that matter. I know that you're tuning into this podcast bi-weekly, and I wanted to give you a personal thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I really appreciate you for taking the time to listen to my creativity. Also, please feel free to share a link to this podcast on all of your social media websites and recommend it to friends. The second thing, if you want a little bit more about the Lenny Gray podcast, I have a Facebook group that you can go and join. It's called Lenny Gray Audio Drama Podcast. It's a Facebook group. It's free to join. You can go over there and you can get some behind the scenes stuff about the podcast and a little bit more about me. I hope you will take the time to join me in that group. And the last thing that I want to share with you. Lenny Gray is just one of about 25 novels I've written. Lenny Gray is one that I turned into a podcast. I have a number of other works. Another one of my works is called Keisha's Drama. It's book one in an 8-book series, and it's a young adult series. So for those of you who have young adult readers and you want to give them some really good reading, then try out Keisha's Drama. What is about to follow is an excerpt from that novel. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, and by the way, you can download Keisha's drama wherever books are sold, via Amazon, via Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million. I hope you enjoy this excerpt from Keisha's drama.
I'm really not the type of girl who likes to get caught up in a lot of drama. But sometimes I feel like drama is closer to me than my own shadow. And sometimes situations become explosive, like an earth-shattering thunderclap that comes with strong spring storm. I know that's a messed up way to think about my life, but it's true. I just saw my so-called boyfriend Ronnie at the movie theater with his arm around a girl from school. There I was at a movie by my damn self because he told me that he couldn't hang out because he had to study for a chemistry exam. He was working on chemistry, but not the type that was in a book. He didn't even see me in the darkness of that movie theater. He sat two rows in front of me. He started whispering in her ear as he fed her his nachos. When I saw him do that, I lost my cool. I jumped up out of my seat, took the lid off my slushie, walked down the steps toward them and said, "You need something to help drink with that?" and threw my drink on him. Then the messed up part is the fact that I had to hustle up on the money to even go to the movie theater by braiding hair for some badass kids. And not only is the Ronnie situation messed up, my whole life is messed up. And I just don't know what to do.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.